on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football. Hello and welcome to 2015, or is it 2015? Which way do you say it?
2015.
Yeah. 2015.
Is there an official guideline?
Yeah, I think it's so. I don't think 2015 is legal tender anymore.
Yeah, that's old money.
Because we used to say 1985.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we didn't say 1985.
I said 1985. Right. I did. Yes. And I had funny looks.
You say in the year of our Lord, 1985.
Yes, Happy New Year, listeners. We hope that the new year finds you in good health after a lengthy Christmas period. It seemed to go on forever, didn't it?
No. Not for those of us who had to go out to work today.
Yeah, not for you two who had to go through London Bridge today.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, okay, we won't talk about that. No, I'm not going to give you free space to just badmouth Network
Rail. This is
rail.
Not the network anti-Network Rail podcast.
But I think we should start that one.
I think we'd get tons of listeners.
I think I'll let my wife sit as host for that one. But it might be the sweariest pod that's ever been done. But hey, there was a lot of football on, wasn't there? And a lot of football happened as well. A lot of
it's
stuff
been everywhere,
happened
hasn't
around
it?
Football, didn't it? Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. A load of football.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot in the non-league though this weekend because it was all rained off, except at the Mighty Leaf, of course. And well, you didn't go there, but Terry and I went down there. That was a cracking gate. And it was showing off the benefit of 3G pitches. Which,
absolutely. Just a shame about the result, really.
Just a shame about the result, but hey, that's football.
Yeah.
But the big story, I suppose, of this new year is one Steven Gerrard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Give it to us gently, Grim.
Well, okay, listeners, you may not have heard this, but apparently Steven Gerrard is going to leave Liverpool. Yeah, I'll let that sink in for a moment. It's not. He's not going to do it today. He's not going to do it even this month. He's not even going to go in this transfer window. No, he's broken it to us gently. I mean, there was never going to be an easy way, was there, of doing this, was there? So he said that it's going to be at the end of the season. He'll probably pack his bags, got the final whistle on the last day of the season. You know. Probably just go really quietly. While there's a leaving party there, I think he'll just sneak out the back.
He's the kind of guy to slip out quietly, and unassumedly, while retaining his dignity. I'm certain that's how it will go.
Mm. Mm. You don't think there'll be a big, massive party and you'll smash someone around the face with a glass bottle?
Well, that's always a possibility, but no, I think on this occasion,
There was also the rather unsurprising news that Frank Lampard wouldn't be going to play for New York straight away. He's actually staying at Man City till the end of the season.
Well, which, he was supposed to go at the end of the year.
Yeah, mm. and that's not been the case. So there are people in New York who don't seem to be too happy about that.
Do you think that they said to the people in New York, when we said the end of the year, we actually mean the end of the season because that's the end of our year?
That's how we do
have calendar years.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the financial years, sorry. Yeah. So they said, no, we meant the end of the year. Not the end of the year.
This goes back to previous podcasts, where we've talked about, the difference between, statistics within the season and statistics within a calendar year.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. We are actually right now compiling our Chinese year statistics.
When
February comes around, we'll be blasting
people. We're nearly at the end of the year, aren't we?
Exactly. Almost.
This Frank Lampard thing throws that whole debate into sharp relief, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I mean, it's a global game. We can't just impose our calendar on the whole footballing world, can we?
No, there are other calendars to be had.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to the Jewish New Year. where we can go through.
Yeah, exactly.
More goals scored by Messi in a Jewish year.
In a Jewish year.
I mean that one's you know, it's much like the Chinese one, because it's a lunar calendar, isn't it?
It is.
You get an extra month in there, don't you?
They do. They have an extra month.
Lucky
Jews.
Yeah, I know.
We always said the Jews were incredibly lucky people.
Yes, Dave.
Our special guest this week, Dave.
he was in the news as well, because he's got a winter break now, hasn't he?
He's got a substantial winter break.
Yeah.
He said he was going to quit if he was found guilty.
Well, he's going to quit for 6 weeks, isn't he?
What was the outcome? Did he get charged?
Surprisingly, he was found guilty.
He was found guilty of being anti-Semitic and racist.
He was told that he can't have anything to do. He can't do any football activities for 6 weeks. Which, for a man who's in his 80s, I don't know how old he is, but he certainly
it's been a while since he's kicked a ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially with his leg, he broke it.
Yeah. Did he really?
Well, that's kind of smart. Yeah, with a broken leg.
Yeah, about 60 odd years ago, but he did, you know. So he's going to be like, you know, not being allowed to read the back page or watch Match of the Day, and
Sabutia for him.
No
FIFA with the grandkids.
No, exactly.
No top trumps.
No, definitely.
This is beginning to bite. This is beginning to bite. I'm beginning to understand.
It's wide-reaching. These football activities at all.
But the commission are satisfied that he's not racist.
Well, that's good then.
Really?
Yeah. They take the view that he's not racist. I presume that what they mean by that, he's not racist, but he just says racist things.
Is this
things.
The Combat 18 committee? We don't think he's racist.
I wouldn't like to say. So that is a peculiar... Well, it's, this whole business is all very peculiar,
isn't
it?
It's
all a bit weird. Yes,
it is weird. But what we're going to talk about, we've just brought you up to speed, listeners, but tonight we're going to concentrate on the Lampard and the Gerrard thing, because obviously these two players have had a bit of a checkered history. They're both players that while Gerrard was very much a one-club man, obviously, from being there since he was 8 years old, Lampard, although he has been both West Ham and Chelsea, he's obviously... The lion's share of his career was as a Chelsea player, and as a pre-Abramovich Chelsea player as well. Someone who joined there when they weren't the mega-rich, super successful club that they are now. But of course, there was the long-term argument about whether you could play both of them together for England. But what has struck me over the last week or so is the sort of comments that I've been seeing on social media about Gerrard. I suppose what you could say is divisive, whereby you know, some people think he's like one of the greatest players that we've ever produced, whereas a lot of people think he's completely overrated and why are we banging on about him all the time. What do you think of him, Jan?
What do I think he's the best player?
As a player. He's off the field.
He's a very, very, very good player.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. He's a very, very talented player. Do I think he's the best player ever to play for Liverpool?
Yeah.
Probably not,
no. Yeah.
I mean, they had a little period of time of about, what was it, about 30 years, where they were one of the best teams in the world. So I would say that no. And considering that in his time, apart from you know a few peaks, it's been generally a trough. And if you're the best player in a period of as sparse as they've had, then that doesn't really say much for you. But that shouldn't take away from his skill and ability. He's a very, very talented player. But I don't think he's a world beater. He's not a Messi or a Marco Gabbiadini, is he?
He certainly isn't Marco Gabbiadini. You're right about that.
I imagine he's got better manners than Marco Gabbiadini.
Well, I don't know. That's not been proven in a court of law.
Yeah, this is true, actually. Yeah.
I think that if you have to define, say, if you define a world-class player, it's usually somebody who excels in almost every aspect of the game that they play, usually the position that they play. And I think that Steven Gerrard is as a sort of central midfielder, I don't think that he's as comfortable on the ball as perhaps he could be, and I don't think he has had the range of passing that he has with some of his sort of contemporaries. Tremendous engine, as they say, and a willingness and an ability to work effectively in other parts of the pitch as well. But yeah, I don't think that he gave much in terms of moving the ball around. He was most effective, in my opinion, when he was playing alongside Xabi Alonso. And Xabi Alonso did an awful lot of the
world-class
play of the passing, whereas and that allowed Gerrard to do the really really good box to box stuff that he's really really good at, bursting runs and
the Hollywood passes
and when he pulled them off but I mean I don't know, I mean it'd be interesting to see if Thumb's ever put together a YouTube clip of spectacular Gerrard passes, but I don't know whether there'd be too many of them. But his value is as a to the club is obviously his the obvious skills that he did have that he used very well during the peak of his powers. And his explosiveness was something that the Flat fans loved, and he's just scored.
He's just scored his second goal of the evening. We are watching.
Brilliant, Steve Gerrard, isn't he?
Against Wimbledon. stroked in a free kick.
With a Hollywood pass.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. Hollywood pass straight to the back of the net.
Passes into the back of the net. Yes. Xabi Alonso style. Anyway, so I don't think that. I mean, I think that also, I think his true value to Liverpool fans is because of, you know, the relationship that he had with the fans. He was the captain, and
he was,
you know, for that,
them, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think there's a feeling that even though there is that whole deal with him being a bit of an Everton fan when he was a kid, he's come through the ranks. He is, you know, very much a Liverpool player.
Yes.
But he's a very English or very British player, isn't he?
Hmm.
There's no.
We can't pass the ball, you mean?
Yeah. And he does a lot of running around.
There's a lot of running around. You can't pass.
Well, he's very determined,
lots
and he
passion.
Wants to win. He's very much three lines on his chest, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
But he's not like Gareth Bale or anyone like that. You know, he hasn't got those silky skills, and you know, and that's what makes you world class, really, to be someone like that.
So you need to have that. You need to have everything.
Yeah.
If you want to be considered to be world class, and that's why I don't think there's a single player in the England squad that comes into that category at this time. Mm. To be able to do everything to an excellent degree, within reason, obviously. You know, I mean, you don't expect Gareth Bale to be an excellent centre half, but you do expect within his role within the team to be able to do everything that he's supposed to do brilliantly. And I'm afraid I don't think that Gerrard really meets that criteria.
Do you think there's any credibility in the argument that being a one club player actually makes it harder to gauge how good a player you actually are? I think it's quite rare now. Obviously, there have been a couple of Man United players that have gone through their whole careers at the club. Gary Neville, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes. Especially with Paul Scholes and Ryan Giggs, quite rightly lauded as fantastic players.
Mm.
Actually, with Paul Scholes actually being super lauded, if that's a term even.
But as
to be sort of like elevated amongst any other player that played for Man United at the time after they've retired. Is there a danger, or is there a feeling that English players get hyped up more than the foreign players that come over here?
I think that is a truth.
And is that the reason why people who support other clubs are more willing to dismiss how good these players actually are?
Yeah, I think that there is a degree of parochialism involved in this.
What's the most famous thing about Frank Lampard?
He's fat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not. I mean,
he's not. He's never been fat. He may have had a bit of puppy fat on him when he was a youngster, you know, when he first came through at West Ham. Yeah. But I mean, no. I mean, he's not fat at all. But everyone says anyone who isn't a Chelsea fan or these days a City fan, still calls him fat.
Mm.
And he's not at all. And I think that's the thing with Gerrard. I think there's a degree of that. I mean, I don't know whether. I mean, it's a mixture of probably envy and antagonism and the fact that he's probably done some damage to your club at some point in the past, which means you don't like him.
Yeah. The mental image I have of Steven Gerrard is him with his hands on his hips, standing on the halfway line, looking puffed out. That's just how I imagine him all the time.
That's because he tears around the place all the time.
Fairness, I mean, he does put a shift in. I mean, that's, I think, alas, this is the his decline has been quite apparent because, you know, because I mean, he's at the stage in his career now where he's not able to put, he hasn't got the legs for that kind of performance anymore.
He can't do an Istanbul every week.
No, I mean, and I think, well, it's interesting you mentioned now, I mean, I think that that has held him back to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I think that that performance has informed his style of play to the point where there have been often been times when he would have been better off if he'd just done what he's told, stayed in the middle of the park, been tactically disciplined.
Mm.
But he's been too keen sometimes to take the initiative.
In many ways, at least he's got that. I mean, I think you've got a lot of players, you can say, well, you know, do you remember when he did this? Do you remember when he did that? This guy, that was a great performance. And he ended up winning a European Cup because of that.
That was brilliant. I mean, in fairness, you know, he deserves all the plaudits just on the basis of that 45 minutes in many respects.
Yeah.
I mean, players go through their entire lives and they never have a game like that.
Yeah.
Never have a game like that. But what I think has happened is that it's elevated him perhaps to a station as, you know, as objectively, you know, Liverpool fans should love him to bits. He's their club captain and has been for years. Mm. They should love him and they should weep when he goes.
Mm.
Everybody else should probably just be a little bit more cool about that, but also not so angry with him as well. I mean, he's a good football player who's retiring and he deserves some respect for that.
That's another thing. He's not actually retiring, is he?
Well, no, he's not retiring.
He's going to play in America. Yeah. I think, going back to your point about apparently, or Manchester, one of the two.
Yeah.
The point you made there about Giggs and Scholes and some of the other guys that came through Manchester United, it's like the Beatles and Elvis. Right, because they all had each other, and there was no focus on one.
Yeah.
Whereas he was the star of Liverpool, and he was from the stands and the terraces, and they loved him. And so, you know, he was probably a victim of that because the focus was always on him. He was Liverpool, whereas the other guys, you know, they had other megastars around them. You know, they brought in some proper world class, some of the best talent that's ever played at Manchester United. It played around those guys, whereas Liverpool didn't really. I mean, there's been some good players playing for Liverpool. Don't get me wrong, but he was always the poster boy there, and always has been. And he was left to do that on his own.
Do you think that Steven Gerrard would have been a better player if he had been a Manchester United player?
I think there would have been less pressure on him. So possibly that might have affected his psychology.
Had to compete with Scholes and Beckham and Giggs and Roy Keane.
Mm.
You know,
the competition probably would have made him better, but the limelight wouldn't have been on him so much because he would have shared it with a load of other superstars. And with Liverpool, there's been the odd one that has joined him, but he has been the embodiment of Liverpool, hasn't he? Whereas Giggs was very much sheltered from that type of thing, possibly by Sir Alex.
Yeah.
And the same with Scorsese and a few of the others.
What about if he'd gone to Real at the same time as Steve McManaman went?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, a lot of that depends on the man and his character.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when Michael Owen went to Real Madrid, he lasted. Well, he actually had a good goal scoring record there.
But he hated it
and he had to go home. Yeah. I mean, if Steven Gerrard had the same appetite for the challenge that Steve McManaman had, then there's no reason why he wouldn't have, and he may well have become a much better player, because I think that they would have finessed his game a bit more than they had done.
He might have become a more rounded player and something that neutrals may have warmed to a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they would have liked his base style. You know, he's charging around the place. They would have liked that. But because, you know, it would have been quite novel to them over there. But you're right. I think he would have picked up a lot more of the more graceful sides of his game and gone from there, really.
What do you think would have happened if he'd gone to Chelsea? Do you remember in 2005?
It was very close. Very, very
There's
close,
all manner of non-recordable stories about the whys and wherefores of him staying. But
he actually went out for a meal with Peter Kenyon, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't know whether that's the case, but I certainly know that it was common knowledge that it was this close.
Yeah.
Well,
and Peter Kenyon put a gun to his head and told him, "You're not joining."
No, nobody put guns to his head.
I was just
guns with heads.
There were no guns.
There were no guns.
Not that day.
Completely another day.
So I don't know. I mean, that was right at the beginning of the whole Chelsea journey, wasn't it? And
was that just when Abramovich had taken over?
Yeah, it was. It was
2005. Well, so it
was just when they were just about to win their first title, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was around the time that Liverpool won the European Cup, if I'm not mistaken. So it was of that order.
Yeah,
and he was very, very close, and it didn't. I mean, it didn't happen. He changed his mind, or quite how it went. But yeah, it was a big. It was in the summertime, in fact. I remember it now because it was in July. It was July.
Mm.
Yes, indeed. July the 7th.
Mm. But I don't mean to be putting questions to the group, because that's your job, sir. I was just wondering that although you did say that Frank Lampard spent most of his time at Chelsea, but he did move from one club to another.
He did, yeah.
And that did. I mean, obviously, he went to a very, very good club. Well, he went to a club that had very good. Went on to achieve a lot of stuff. I mean to say, did he benefit from that more than Gerrard did from staying with a very, very good club? He went off and
Lampard became a better player for going to Chelsea. Yeah, definitely, he would not have been as good a player as he has been if he'd stayed at West Ham.
Yeah,
because West Ham just isn't. You know, that's just not that good a club. No, I mean, they can't afford the kind of players that Chelsea had. He doesn't get to play with the kind of players that he had at Chelsea. I mean, I don't think that there's a particularly controversial thing to say. I mean, I think that that's always the case. You know, if you're a promising young player and you get an opportunity to move to a bigger club, when you're at a relatively small club, then yeah, you go because you're going to be a better player as a consequence. Mm. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's certainly the case.
I think what I was thinking around is that Steven Gerrard is a Liverpool boy. And he wanted to be with Liverpool. Yeah. Would he have been that much of a Liverpool boy if Liverpool were in the same position as, say, West Ham?
Right, good question.
This is my point.
That's a difficult question to answer. One can only speculate.
Because you start bringing in loyalty and stuff like that and wonder whether it really exists. And,
yeah,
you know.
I don't know. I mean, because Liverpool hasn't been the club that's engendered that loyalty for a long time.
Mm.
I mean, they used to have players that would stay there for years and years and years, mm-hmm. but... You know, they wouldn't stay there their whole career.
No.
I mean, you've got people like Ian Rush went, John Aldridge went, and other people they brought in when they were at the peak of their powers. Mm. So it was there was always a big turnover of players when they were successful.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think with Gerrard, it was just the fact that he was the standout player for them, and I wonder if you know that. His persona almost it overtook them. I think like the Alonso thing is probably the key thing here, isn't it? When they allowed him to go,
yeah,
but they didn't allow Gerrard to go.
No.
It was almost as if they made their choice.
Yeah,
and I wonder if Liverpool fans looking back would have thought, actually, which one would you have preferred to keep?
Yeah, I think they would, without question, say Gerrard.
Yeah,
I think without question. But again, I said that they're perfectly entitled to have this affection for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you would do that with any club that's been, any player that's been with your club for that amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't brook any criticism of him.
No.
You wouldn't, and rightly so. But if you want to be a bit more objective about it, I just think it's worth pointing out that he wasn't as good as that.
No.
But he was still pretty damn good.
Yeah. Do you think he looks at Frank Lampard and goes, there's something I could have... Could I have been as good as him?
He looks at Frank Lampard and said, I don't get why we didn't spend more time in the England squad team together. Why did
they're tied
that
together,
work?
Aren't they? They're...
But yeah, they're both two big players in the golden generation that never was, aren't they? The team from... You know, 2002 to 2006 that was supposed to win the World Cup and didn't. Of which, obviously, Lord Beckham is a big part. So they're both part of that.
They both got over 100 caps as well. So it's not as if either of them kept each other out.
Yeah,
exactly.
And they both had glittering, in their own ways, glittering careers. And Gerrard's had a glittering career. He's had a successful career. He's won stuff.
And he was the captain.
So I mean, they've both been great. And this. There is a certain. There's also more the sense of passing of time as well. I mean, again, that the kind of the last vestiges of the golden generation now sort of like finally moving off, and you know that kind of rather embarrassing time for England fans when we really thought we were going to win the World Cup is coming to an end. So maybe there's a residue amongst older England fans of, oh, thank goodness, you know, we can now forget about that whole thing and you know move on. and you know put a huge amount of expectation on the current couple of players.
Yeah, they'll be arguing whether or not Henderson and Wilshere can play on the same side together. Yeah. Probably not.
Indeed, but 20 years from now, I'll be saying, Adam Lallana, was he really all that? Oh, I don't know.
Do you think if he'd gone to Real Madrid, like Jordan Henderson did, we'd all be covered in his residue?
Do you think if he'd gone to New York City, like he said he was going to do?
Well, you see, that's the beauty of football, you see, because like players come and go, but the narrative, it just remains the same, doesn't it?
But I suppose it's worth just pointing out that it looks like, it does look like, very much like Gerrard will go to MLS, and looks like he's going to go to the LA Galaxy. So following in Lord Beckham's footsteps to that extent.
If
so
he gets there.
Assuming, well, you mean if he finds his way, or do you mean if it just happens altogether?
Well, I'm just thinking about what happened with Frank, going and coming and coming and
right,
going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Frank's staying with us for a little bit longer, but we assume that Frank will eventually end up at New York.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that there was some poster that was taken out by someone in New York with Frank Lampard's face on it saying missing, have you seen this man? You know, we were just saying before this that maybe that it's having a negative impact on MLS, as it's you know reinforcing its place as current place as being a kind of second class payday place.
Yeah, I know it's important to you, but you know it's more important. The Premier League is more important than your first season as a MLS club.
Yeah,
you know it's a bit of a statement that you're sending out to the troops. I think there's going to need to be a few phone calls and a bit of love heading their way just to say, look, you know, sorry, but that's just, I mean, you know, to a degree, that's just how it is, isn't it? Well, I was just thinking that, you know, it ultimately, Lampard's done a fantastic job at City, and you can't blame them for wanting to keep him to the end of the season.
No, agreed. But is he contracted to the New York?
Apparently not. Apparently, he was never actually contracted to the New York.
So, was he contracted to the parent company?
So, I assume he's never contracted to either the parent company or maybe to Manchester City. Yeah. So, I'm assuming that what it was that there was going to be there was an understanding that he would go to New York City, but he probably never signed the paperwork.
Right.
Went to Manchester City.
Yeah.
With a view to going, but this was put to us that this was a loan deal. But in fact, I don't know whether or not it ever was actually a loan deal. So maybe that may yet transpire that was not the case. But it's a peculiar arrangement, to say the least.
It is.
But if we take everyone by their word, then he will be out there, you know, at the end of the season, and I guess he'll be ready to start playing for New York, maybe with a handful of games left in the regular season, which is likely to probably be how far they'll go, because most expansion teams don't make it to the postseason. So.
Mm. Well, there you go. It'll be interesting to see how it works out.
It will be. We'll have a full summer of MLS to watch, and we'll see how they both do out there. Well, that's about wraps it up for this week. Stay with us after the music, because we've got some more Top Trumps. Yeah, it's a new year of Top Trumps awaits us. Well, probably not Yang, but you know.
Thank you very much.
Graham Sibley from Terry DeFellin and Yang Dalton is goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @SoundOfFootball, or on facebook.com/SoundOfFootball.
Welcome to a new year of Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you were listening to our last instalment, you'll know that you, the listeners, won. It's a bit of a titanic struggle, but Mario Gomez, he got in there with his glut of goals and he managed to beat Joe Hart.
Just shaded Joe Hart on the goal scored from.
Jan's deck, if we can still call it that,
is an ant.
It looks like Terry's playing gin rummy, I'm playing draw poker, and You're playing Pontoon, aren't you?
Pontoon.
That was brilliant. Yeah. That was brilliant. Yeah. You know, they're going to play that when we win our award next year.
I'm glad you said Pontoon and not Blackjack. Because there's a veneer of glamour to Blackjack.
There's Pontoon. No veneer to Pontoon, no, is there?
Certainly not. Even though
yeah. We've lost all our North Americans. Pontoon? Pontoon? Yes.
Are you, do you put out a multilingual podcast?
Yeah, the American version of the Sound of Football is very different.
Scream something on an American accent saying black.
Blackjack.
Yeah. I say pants instead of trousers. I say match instead of math. And I put an S on Lego.
Is there an S on Lego in America?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you just making that up?
No. Anyway, we got to play, otherwise we'll run out of music. Hmm. Right, we put it to you earlier, listeners, about an hour ago.
What music do you play for Chop Chop Chunks? Is it the same music or is it?
Do you play the Star Spangled Banner? You do, don't you?
Yes!
Yeah, I feel foolish asking.
Right, well, the card that you listeners have is Thomas Müller, and we put it to you, and you come out with Height as your selection. Now, Thomas Müller comes in at 186.
Well, I have. Maintaining the umlaut theme,
yes,
and also maintaining the strange pronunciation of German names, I've got Mesut Özil, and he's 180.
Oh,
Edison Cavani.
Oh dear, he's a South American. We all know what you think about South Americans, don't you?
Quite a tall South American.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what a rarity.
He's quite tall. Sorry, I meant to say for a South American. He's 100,
yes,
and 80.
Oh.
This is win again.
Join us again next time, listeners, for some more Sound of Football Top Trumps.
What do the Americans call Trumps?
Trumps.
Do they call it whist or something?
Oh,
like that?
Oh, probably.
whist.
No.
They don't even call whist. They probably call whist stew or something like that.
It's probably Texas card draw, something like that, isn't it?
Texas slam dance.
Alabama upmanship or something like that. Fizzbin, they call it Fizzbin.
Yes, that's what they call it, and they like that.